Blog Talk Radio.
Aleihem, Wale Dolin, Ay, me. have just recited to you El-Fatiha, which is the first chapter of the Holy Quran, or the opening in Arabic. And now I'd like to recite to you the same in English. El-Fatiha, the opening. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. I mean, As-salamu alaykum. I want to start off by bearing witness. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings forever be upon him, is the seal of the prophets. I greet you once more of the greeting of God's peace be unto you, of As-salamu alaykum, meaning God's peace be unto you. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, the message of concern. And the message of concern is the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. We also have a subtopic of psychological effect that that image has on the minds of the world's children. And what do you think that image does psychologically to the minds of the world's children, especially if they don't have any type of a therapy afterwards? And this even goes for our adults, older people that are not children. The same. It goes the same. And the older people or the adults deserve the same psychotherapy after, excuse me, trying to understand this image, which is a statue or a cross that you wear around your neck that portrays divine. It's speaking and focusing on the image of the statue, which a lot of people call Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a prophet, a human being just like you and I, but had been chosen to be a prophet by Allah due to his humbleness and obedience to Allah. It's one of the things that could be contributed toward his prophethood and him being a prophet. Okay. I want to also mention other prophets like Moses and Ibrahim and who are some of the other prophets? Well, of course, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and Adam and several other prophets. Okay, so even in the Holy Bible, there are prophets that are mentioned, and their names are pointed out as well. Okay, and there was a question at one time about the different females who also could have been recognized as prophets. But that, I'm not clear about that yet myself. And there is a writing, write-ups about them. Yes. The famous women in the Quran, they were recognized as significant individuals who had the knowledge, same as the prophets, male prophets. So there's other research that we can do to find out about that. Now, I would like to recite to you, though, some of the, excuse me, I just dropped something on the floor. I'd like to recite to you some of the things that the King James Version of the Bible points out as far as that image, that graven image. In the back of this book, I'm going to first read or recite what these chapters and verses are in the Holy Bible King James Version and what they're speaking about that graven image. And then I'll also read a couple of the surahs, which are chapters, and ayats, which are verses in the Holy Quran about the same, about the graven images. It may be put in a different way, but it's proof, it's a backup of what we say when we say that the graven image should not be a sign for us at all. As far as statues, you know, and the cross, excuse me, that symbolizes righteousness or Jesus in worship, you know, it should be recognized as God. A lot of worshipers think that it proves there's only one God, that thou shalt have no graven images of that God. He cannot be confined in a statue or a cross. Okay? So we're going to read this. And it comes from Brother Henry S. Muhammad's book, which is titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health. Okay, and I would want to ask you to pay attention to the reading of two of the chapters and their verse in the Holy Bible, King James Version, that speaks on the graven image. And the first one is Exodus chapter 20. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Okay? And even Leviticus down here says, ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Okay, this is one of the references used in the King James Version about the graven image. Okay, but if you listen to me at first, excuse me, you would have paid attention to the Exodus, what I just read, and then I want to read to you Deuteronomy, and it's almost like verbatim words, the same words. They may be just in different, arranged differently in the sentence, but the sentence still remains the same itself about the graven image, and thou shalt not have any graven image. Okay, so this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Okay? Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, that particular verse, chapter and verse right there, is similar to the same reading that I did for you from the beginning when we first started out in Exodus. And I had asked you to pay special attention to the wording, in which they're almost verbatim and the same, just rearranged in the sentence. Because Exodus 20 chapter 4 verse again says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Okay. So how can we say that there's any difference in the reading of the Holy Bible in the chapters and the verses, you know, that speaks and on the graven image and how we should not have any graven image of God or the Creator. So, okay, now, I'm going to recite to you from the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, I'm going to recite to you first Surah chapter 4, An-Nisa, the women. It has like 170 to 173. So that's the verses, like three verses, something like that. And it'll start off with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O mankind, the apostle has come to you in truth from Allah. Believe in him, it is best for you. But if you reject faith, to Allah alone belong all things in the heavens and on earth, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the book, commit no excesses in your religion, nor say of Allah anything but the truth. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah, and his word, which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles. Say not Trinity desist, it will be better for you. For Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him. For exalted is he above having a son. To him belong all things in the heavens and on earth. And enough is Allah as a disposer of affairs. Christ does not disdain to serve and worship Allah, nor do the angels, those nearest to Allah. Those who disdain his worship and are arrogant, he will gather them all together unto himself to answer. But to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, he will give your due rewards and more out of his bounty. But those who are disdainful and arrogant, he will punish with a grievous chastisement, nor will they find besides Allah any to protect or help them. Okay, then we have one other short I would like to read or recite, Surah or chapter 112 in the Holy Quran. And this title is L.E. Class. This is chapter L.E. Class, the purity of worship. L.E. Class means the purity of worship. And it reads, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say, he is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Allah speaks the truth. Okay, now you heard it coming from the Quran, and you heard it coming from King James Version of the Bible, and both of them are speaking, if you will, against the images that of being held now in front of the worshiping places or being recognized as idols of worship. You know, we don't worship idols, nor do we have to wear a cross to indicate that we are believers in God. You know, and now the way it is, it's just that the Christians are believers in God. And that is when they wear those crosses around their necks, symbolizing an image of God. A lot of times that's on that cross. So we should teach our children to not to be confused because their complexion is darker, or we have many darker complected people than the Caucasians do. Okay? But it's like we have a tan, the tan that they, a lot of them try to get. But we already have that tan. But it's a natural tan. Okay? So we should try to guard that. Try to guard that. And also remember the psychological effects that it has on the minds of the world's children, and it causes them, a lot of them, to get so confused to the point where they have to have some type of treatment to help balance their themselves back out and to get and to be able to teach them the real truth about that image and not be afraid to let the children know the truth about that image. Because if we don't let them know, when they start to grow up, they're going to be asking other people questions, and the other people are going to be answering them the way they want, you know, them to know it, when it does, may not necessarily be the truth about it, but they're teaching them about it, okay? And all the different statues that we are paying tribute to, like the chapter St. Francis of Assisi, and the chapters of Holy Mary, they call it, a lot of chapters, a lot of chapters that recognizes. And just to back that up a little bit, I would like to read this particular part. Excuse me for my throat is scratchy, like when the weather's changing, so kind of cool now. It gets cool up here at night. I got a little sore throat. It says, I want to read chapter 20, Traumatized and Living in a State of Denial. And this denial and this traumatizing is coming from that the image, that graven image. And this is why our children and some adults need that therapy after they become aware of what has been said or how they've been living as far as that, as far as the complexion of their skin and what people say about it, as well as the statues, the psychological effect, you know, that it has on the minds of the world's children and how it confuses them, because with different colors, different complexions. And then you see the Caucasian race just has, well, they have a little pink or a little darker skin or something like that, but most of them have different shades of skin. They're mostly lighter complexion skin. And a good example was from that was, I think, yesterday, yes, when the brother was speaking on this show, and he mentioned that if you have noticed that they are the same complexion, the Caucasian and the pig skin, you know, they're pink, and they just favor the look-alike, they said. My brother had mentioned that. But anyway, I want to read this to you. It's going to be quickly, and it's just going to emphasize the trauma that comes with that image. to our children. And some of those, like I said, these pictures, every one of them in Brother Henry's book, which is entitled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Henry S. Muhammad. And he has 26 pages, 126 pages in this book, and 26 chapters in this book. He also has pictures, and these pictures are complimentary. Photo courtesy from Photo Courtesy Library of Congress. So that's where they came from. These pictures, very good pictures too, to realize and get a snapshot from and read about what it's saying. Okay, now I'll attempt to read this right here. I'm on chapter 20, and it says traumatized and living in a state of denial. And you have the little brother here, dark-complected brother, who's looking at this plate that has all Caucasians on it, male and female, and they're sitting around listening to music being played. And the little boy is on his knees on the floor, and then he has his elbows in the chair where the plate is, and his fist under his chin, as if to say, you got to get a real good look at this right here, you know. But anyway, the treatment is what they need. All of them need some type of therapy, you know, after this trauma. And after they get a certain age and become more familiar with different things that they see, you know, and they hear. So we still have to be very careful with them. They're fragile. Okay, now I'm going to read this right here quickly. Traumatized and living in a state of denial. The social scientists tell us that victims of violent crimes need to go through a period of psychological readjustment or psychotherapy, so that they won't have to spend the rest of their lives experiencing the mental anguish and pain that an extremely violent crime would produce in their minds. When we examine the cruel, hateful, and heartless crimes that were violently forced upon the lives of African American slaves over a 300-year period, it becomes shockingly and painfully clear that the African American community never experienced a true period of psychological reconstruction or readjustment. Just think about that for a second. For several centuries, African American slaves were forced under the threat of death to surrender their God-given right to think freely and independently for themselves. African American slaves were brutally forced under the threat of death to accept a religious teaching that said God lived on earth humanly as a Caucasian man. They were also forced under the threat of death to believe a teaching that said African Americans were cursed by God to be subhuman, obedient, willing slaves for their cruel slave masters from the day they were born until the day that they died. Just imagine if a nation of a mentally unstable people had begun up to their ancestors' heart and forced them to work without pay. Day after day, year after year, from sun up to sundown, every day of their lives, just about all of you would have your present-day employers thrown in jail if he or she stole just a week's worth of pay from you. Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your ancestors were forced for centuries to live as domesticated work animals under a legal system that allowed them to be branded by hot irons and sold on auction blocks like sheep, horses, cows, and mules? Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your wives and daughters were forced under the threat of death to sexually reproduce like dogs and horses just so they could give birth to an endless supply of slave children or slave babies who could later be sold on auction blocks or worked in the fields as human livestock. If unthinkable crimes like these were historically committed against your ancestors, wouldn't they need a period of psychological readjustment so that their traumatized thinking wouldn't be passed on to their future generations? Sure, they would. But the African-American slave community never received a period to psychologically readjust into American society. The American society community was never psychologically rebuilt after it was psychologically torn down. To this day, I believe that the African-American community suffers from severe post-traumatic stress associated with their ancestors' 300-year slave experience. Where are the learned social scientists and psychologists that are ready to explain to the American society how pent-up anxiety, anger, inner fear, self-hatred, and trauma have plagued the thinking of the African-American community for centuries? Where are the religious leaders and community leaders who are brave enough to tell to the African-American community that God does not have a flesh body or an ethnic identity? The straight truth is that African-American fathers can never regain their knighthood. Can never regain their rightful, dignified role as fathers and husbands while their wives and children are being taught that God Almighty lived on the earth as a Caucasian man. Now, that says a lot right there. And it shows that we need some type of a treatment. We all need some type of a treatment after we consider ourselves as being free. So, okay. I'll stop right there, you know, with the reading. But just looking over some chapters, chapter 21, God created man to have self-mastery. Alhamdulillah. We got a lot of good topics in this book. This book has a beautiful topic as well to it. Okay. And we read it every night that I get a chance to. On the Blog Talk Radio Show, the brothers, when they come on, they have other agendas they have to, you know, follow. And so they take care of their business. You see, this is Tuesday night. So this is the sister's night. And just so happens that Sister Quran in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, asked the question, you know, about what the children should learn to call themselves as a name, you know, a name to think of a name to call themselves, you know, so they'll be able to know what's going on with them. Okay, then I guess this is it for me. I will wind it up for a minute and get a listing of those people who might want to come on. Any time, if you want to come on, just push one on your cue and you'll be brought into the show until it's your time to speak. Okay? Okay, now, what else? There was something. Now, whoever's out there now, if you would like to say something, I'm going to bring you on. I don't know if he's ready or not, but I take it that he is. Brother Akbar, my husband. Brother Akbar? Yes. Are you ready to speak or to say something? You dropped? You sure did.
for you to call back in then. Indeed, he dropped all the way to these phones or something. Is there anyone else out there who would like to speak or say something at this time? And just push one on your telephone receiver. We haven't forgotten about the topic that we're supposed to talk about tonight. And we were waiting for someone who said they would come on, an imam who said he would come on if he could. So I was waiting around to see if he would be able to come on. Okay, sounds like he's in the host queue. I can click him to come in. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, it got to name.
Okay, are you ready now to speak to us?
Well, yeah, I will speak a few minutes. I've already let you know.
You want to wait a few minutes or what?
No,
huh?
I'm know I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. And the job, because we know that this block radio station is the removal of a racial image from worship, and also the effect of this image is having on our children, and keep having on our children. And it's going to be like that until we get rid of it. And God has chose us to get rid of it, because he has made us more aware of this than anybody else. So once you're aware of something and you know it's wrong, then you are charged with that. You are charged and not equal to those who sit at home and see no harm, those who go out. Allah says that. So why not?
Right.
Why are you missing an opportunity in this life to get some barakat, get some extra blessing from God from trying to reverse the lie that been told on God? Like you said, they'll make God a Caucasian man. And this is wrong. So when we humilay say John Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Ashadu Ilah, he lay in Allah, Ashadu Ilah Muhammad and Rasulullah. I'm the bad witness and I testify there is no God but Allah. And that Christ Jesus, that Prophet Muhammad, will come and lead us in all truth. And that's not talk when that Jesus made that statement. Ain't no one else in the history of this world have stood out as a prophet like Muhammad and Abdullah. So that fit Prophet Muhammad like a glove. That he brought the final revelation, and he had the final revelation in the Quran. There's no book came after it than the Quran. And the Quran makes it very clear. If you can make one ayat equal to the ayat that you find in the Quran, and this has been a challenge that the Quran put out there over 1,400 years ago, and no one has met or been able to meet that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The book said in this book, it's truth without doubt. There's no doubt in the book. This book said
right.
that if all the trees was pencils, all the seeds was ink, and then you add another seed, you would never be able to dissolve this book. Don't you know that's saying something? That's saying a whole lot. That's not boasting. That is telling you that God himself had put this together. And no man can ever come up with anything equal than what God had put together. So all praise is due to Allah. We thank Allah for all he has done for us, brought us out of the darkness into the light, introduced us to truth and understanding, introduced us back to the true Jesus, to the true Moses and Abraham and Lot, all the truth that that the Bible let get away, Quran brought it back in a clear message, clear understanding, to help mankind who want to be helped. A woman help us if we want to be helped. Some of us, we don't want no help. We like the Hollywood script that we find in the Bible. Jesus died for my sin. That ain't nothing but a Hollywood script. Jesus coming back. Another Hollywood script. Jesus walked the water. You know that ain't nothing but a Hollywood script. Huh? So all these people that tamper with the book, and then they gave it to us, to the people who there put all this thing, put all this being afraid of them. If you beat me all day long and then you hold up an image of you as God, what you think I'm going to do? You keep them lips, them whips off me, I'm going to say, you God. But in my heart, I know you ain't God. You the devil in sheep clothes. In my heart, I know you ain't you God. But these African-Americans done took this thing too far with these African-American preachers holding their master up as the Son of God, a God in the flesh. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But today, there's no forgiveness for that, because too much truth is on the screen, Shane. And you hear the Muslim, we know we got Muslim, all of us got Muslim in our family, and our family done told them what we believe in. Our family done, we done told our family, and so this message has spread it already. Huh? I hear them saying, you know, the Muslim, they believe in one God. You know, yeah, we three gods. We got two more than they got. This is what they're saying. Father, Son, and a ghost. Say, I mean, can you hear that? Father, Son, and a ghost. And Webster, the English language come alive. He said, father is one who have a son. You can't be a father without having a son. You can be a man, but you become a father when you have a son. A son is one who come from a father. And we know all sons came from their father, but Christ Jesus. And we know that Jesus was born when God said, be and it is, and he began to grow in the male, inside of male. Huh? He don't have no physical. But his physical father, his beginning father, is Adam. Adam is his father. Adam is all our father. Huh? So everything can be explained because we have the truth. Huh? We have the truth. That's why everything can be explained. So all the lies that have been given to us, you know, I seen a black cat going across the street today. Look how many lies he told on a black cat. He's evil. You see a black cat, you better go to the house and lock the door. That's a lie that's been started by those who want to keep us under the lie. Black cat equal. And you can go in the Caucasian neighborhood who have been giving us that lie, have fed that lie to us. And they got a black dog licking them in the mouth. Huh? They got black cats in there. Then they got white cats. But that's a lot they give us. They want us to stay. And we're helping ourselves stay in this year by calling ourselves color that we don't have. I'm a black man. I'm a black woman. Show me in scripture what God said he made a black man. A black man. Show me what God said he made a white man. But I can show you what God said is right. He can wipe your soul, not your skin, on with your God give us all good skin to be on these bones that we have. God did that. But you go around I'm white. You know what Webster said about white and black? He said white means pure. Huh? If white means pure, where is the Caucasian, the majority of them, where are they pure at? They own everything. They don't want to stand up. Ain't a skyscraper in any city that we own. They own everything. Why? Because they job is to keep us dumb down and looking up to them as their safety. I seen Caucasian walk in a room and full of nothing but African Americans, and all the African Americans turned toward that Caucasian. And when they talk to that Caucasian, they speak to that Caucasian like they've been to Harvard and Yale, Princeton and Dartmouth. They talk like they've been to the best of college, talk to one Caucasian. But when it comes to talking to each other, MF this, MF that, and all that, that's how we talk to each other. Who put us in see? Wasn't no godly person did it. Wasn't no guy, there no woman or man who said they believe in Jesus, because if they would believe in Jesus, Jesus said you would do the work of Jesus. I don't see them doing the work of Jesus. Huh? You go to jail, your child do not get rehabilitated. But they said Christ forgive, and they want to tell us forget and forgive. But our children go to jail and they don't forget or forgive. They write them up with a felony. They try to hold them back. They stop that. They used to try to hold them back for getting any good job. Want them to go back to prison. That's what they wanted. Want them to go back. If they give you a felony, meaning you don't fail all the way around to them. You don't fail. And their job is to keep their eyes on you. And as soon as you mess up, drink some of their alcohol, or get in one of their cars without any license, you're going right back to prison. They set up that thing. That ain't nothing God would want a person to set up. That ain't nothing Jesus would be involved in. Jesus was a merciful and kind person. What merciful and kind about that? You can't show me nothing that you find in the prison system where they're trying to rehabilitate the children. But let a dog get run in the Caucasian neighborhood. They'll pick that dog up and take him to the vet. They'll walk the floor all night long, make sure that dog get an operation and get treated right. They ain't going to do that for you. Huh? They ain't going to do that for you, but they'll do it for a dog. And you got these Negroes, African Americans, who used to wouldn't let an animal live in their house, living in the house, eating from the same table that they eat from, because they follow, they see on TV, and whatever they see on TV, they go along with it, even though it's against the scripture they read. So how are we going to change these people by their sitting in our place of worship, waiting on Jesus, waiting on Prophet Muhammad? Prophet Muhammad got out and got on the highways and byways and talked to the people until they stoned him, until they ran him out of the town he was in. He died while he prophesied. We got a message for the people who don't want to even buy a paper, don't want to even propagate. And you look at them and you look hard enough, they look no different than the people out in the street. Wig on, green hair, blue hair. Supposed to be Muslim. Your girl got tight pants on. You can see the print of their body. That ain't being no Muslim. That ain't being no Christian. But they don't, Allah tell us, never did we stop being a Muslim until we fell into the wrong environment. That means we're looking at TV. That means we're buying into what you see on TV. That means we're thinking everything all right. We ain't condemning or boycotting nothing. We're going along with the status quo. We're losing ourselves. We're losing our children. Huh? All us, Sister Claire Muhammad School, what she did, stood in the doorway and said, I'll be dead as a toenail before you put my children in that public school. Why ain't that spirit is also now in the masses? Why didn't the humanities and others are talking about keeping the Muhammad school high important? You know why? Most of the imams, their children doing well, and they care nothing about the rest of the children. So they fell into the status quo. I got mine, you get yours. So, brother, we have to. We're living in a serious time with this COVID-19 earthquakes. Freezing storm. You got in Georgia 3-inch spiders all over North Georgia, and they said when the wind blows and the seeds from those spiders, they're gonna be all over Georgia, all over in the other cities and towns and other states. These spiders.
Yellow spiders, yellowback.
So, and we should be alarmed. The food ain't no good. Brother was saying about the bananas. You got some bananas. Don't even taste like bananas no more. And bananas are good for potassium for your body. They don't. The scientists and the evil-minded people don't went in. The evil-minded sound like Frankenstein. Don't went into the vegetables and stuff and took all the goodness out, and all you got a shell of food. Some look like it's good, look like it used to be a plum, look like it used to be some grapes, look like it used to be a pineapple. But it ain't nothing but a shell. It has no vitamins in it. It has no iron or no nothing in it that will help your body stay on this earth. They know. So you got to buy all these different drugs to keep your body alive. Your arm go bad, they give you something for your arm, and then they got to give you something to protect your liver from the medicine they give you to protect your arm. Your leg, they got to protect your leg, then got to give you something to protect the kidneys from the medicine you got they gave you to protect your arm. God say he ain't going to never change our condition until we change what's in our hearts about each other. That's why we're in this condition. We let our hearts be played with. We let our hearts go out to the wicked. We love people that hate us. I love everybody. God do not love everybody. God said, that's why he sent prophets to clean up those people that don't love everybody and bring a message to them so they can start loving themselves, and then that love can come from them out to others. But people are never going to love you. You wish you had their hair. You wish you had their eyebrows, their nose. You wish you had the house they live in. Wishing, hoping, I'd love to have that house. And you got a house you don't want to. You got a house you don't pray. Allah said, appreciate what he give you, and then he will give you more. I don't get it. So I thank Allah for letting me come on for a few minutes. I don't thank Allah that we are still trying to make good things happen in America. We love this country. We're going to try to make, but BUII is the connection that we're going to have to use, or the people going to have to use something similar In order for us to have some happiness and peace in this world, we're going to need we're going to need to separate ourselves from these people and build on for ourselves and ask Allah to bless us all the way. And until we do that, we just living in hell. Huh? We living in a hell of a situation where you call the police, he might shoot you. We living in hell. So we thank Allah for blessing us to see all this wrong and bless Allah, ask Allah to bless us with the good that he wants to have so we can have heaven here and then heaven in the next life. I mean.
Thank you, Brother Agba, husband, for that dawah that you just did, sharing that information with us. Always welcome, always beneficial. And I would like to know now, if anybody else would like to have something to say, please push 1 on your phone receiver, and you can be brought into the queue to ask a question, to speak. We like participation. And we did have, I was waiting around a little bit for someone to say they may be able to come on with us to finish this, to help us rather, or to contribute with us, you know, and share with us, excuse me, the conversation that we had last night on the name that we should be, name that we should give ourselves, we should have ourselves to differentiate us from others, like all other people have their own origin, and they're recognized by their names, you know. When you hear a person that's called Mbabwe, you think about Africa. You know, that's the continent, and the people that come from there have different names like that, you know, represent different tribes. You can tell them by their names. Okay, if you hear something like Pueblo, you hear the Mexicans, and they're differentiated, you know, by their names. Okay, or Sanchez, they're from Argentina or from Puerto Rico. So they have their own origin, and they're recognized by their names. When you hear Giuliani, you know that's Italian, and they're recognized by their names, you know, and their origin, Italy. So, but when you say Billy or Connie or Mary, I mean, it's just common names of maybe some people from the United States or something like that. But, and that's, we mentioned that last night because one of the sisters had mentioned about Negro. I think she's mentioned when she used to be Negro, when she was a Negro. Negro came in there some kind of way that something, you know, took place or something. She felt one way or whatever, you know. Can't remember verbatim. But then I had mentioned to her afterwards that, first of all, maybe, you know, she shouldn't have called herself a Negro, you know, and the children were involved. I think she had mentioned something about she didn't want the children, that we should teach our children what to call ourselves because, you know, in different applications they have the race there. Now you're supposed to tell what race you are, whether you're African-American or Hispanic or Italian or whichever, you know. And
we really don't have that distinction between us as due to the complexion of our skin as African Americans. You know, this is our origin. Our ancestors came from Africa, so you always say the African, say the name first of your origin, and then the country that you live in. You know, origin is African, but the country that you live in there is American, so you're African American. You know, similar to that, and I do see on the line now. Yes. I think it's Sister Karan or Brother Suja. It's their number, telephone numbers. It has the question mark on it indicating they're ready to speak, and we're going to bring them in without further ado, And hopefully while we're talking and still discussing this, the amen will come on if we want to come on. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suja or Sister Karan. I don't know which one has a line tonight for this number. 240 is the prefix, or is the first three numbers, and 1963 is the last four numbers. Welcome. I see the question mark at the end of your number indicate that you're ready to speak.
I'm Lego.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, barakatuh, Brother Suja.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just want to add to what what's already been said.
Okay.
And just sort of. If any children are listening on the line, just let them know that well, I got an example. First, my daughter was babysitting one of the neighbors, And one of the babysitters was saying, you know, they used to come by the house. And when they come by the house, they see us praying, you know. And she caught one of the babysitters was telling another person that when we pray, to the devil.
Mm.
So that's the reason we put our head down on the ground.
Oh my!
Because we praying to the devil. So that was funny to me. That type of misunderstanding can be made. You know, because they don't know. And the reason she said that is because nobody explained to us how, you know, about Muslim and how they pray. She just saw us praying. And she came to her own conclusion, the reason that we was doing sajda, the reason we were bowing down and putting our face on the ground, because she had never heard that in Christianity. So I just want to bring forth some evidence from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
that the prophet, they prayed like Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just want to give a few quotes. First to start off with Matthew 26:39. In reference to Jesus, Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face. Jesus was prostrating. and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." That's in Matthew 26:39. And I got another. Genesis chapter 17, verse 3. Abraham. And Abraham fell on his face. He was prostrating. And God talked with him, saying, it stopped right there. And God talked with him. Abraham fell on his face. And that's in Genesis 17:3. And okay. I have another, Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Okay. And we go on, and this is talking about the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They prostrated and worshiped it and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Okay. And then we're going to go on down to David. What David did. This is in Samuel 20:41. And David, and as soon as the lad, LAD, was gone, David arose out of a place towards the south and fell on his face to the ground. David prostrated and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David acceded. That's in 20:41. And we have another. "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." That's Psalm 95:6. And we got one in Kings 18:39. Elijah, when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They prostrated. They said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." That's in Kings 18:39. Okay, we got another. And Joshua 5:14. Joshua fell on his face to the earth. Joshua prostrated and did worship and said unto him, What said my Lord unto his servant?" As in Joshua 5:14. Nehemiah 8:6. "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered it, I mean, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They prostrated." So right here, you know, these are just some of the verses that are in the Bible to prove that the prophet prayed like you see the Muslim praying all over the world, you know, falling on their faces, you know, and You know what? It's I just don't know. I was in Christianity. The way they pray, you know they put both their hands together, and they follow their knees. You know, but Muhammad Ali made it famous. You know, when he was boxing, I think all the children and most of the world recognize how a Muslim pray. You know, he didn't put his head on the ground. He said he did a dua. You know, I don't see why they think that we are so strange in our prayer. You know, there's nothing strange about what we're doing. You know, Muslim, and they pray all the time. It was a lady told us where we were sitting at a table. It was 8 tables. We were invited to a church, and they asked the Muslim to sit at the two Muslims sat at the table of 8, and then we teach the Christian about Islam, where they can learn our religion, and I think I told one of when I was making a presentation, I told her about we pray 5 times a day, and the lady. She is one lady saying she really liked that. She wished they had that type of principle, that type of rule in their religion. You know, stated time, and we pray 5 times a day. You know, we can pray all day long if we want to, but we pray 5 times a day. So praise be to Allah. I hope some children were listening, and they can hear that. And somebody asked them about the Muslim and why they put their head on the ground when they pray. There's many places in the Bible where they put their head on the ground, the prophets, and other peoples put their head down on the ground to pray. Okay, thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullah barakatuh. Thank you for that information, important information. We'll take note of that, too. Note that down, too. All right. So I guess our person that was supposed to be coming on, not coming on yet, but didn't come on yet, and it is 8:13, so we'll keep it moving right along. And if you have anything else to add to or to share, we're sharing knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding tonight, leading from the children, you know, the children and what they should be told and taught and how go about doing it. So just push 1. On your phone receiver, you'll be brought into the queue. And those of you who were not on last night, we had an interesting conversation, and I did mention it to the imam when I invited him on tonight, but he said it was such a short notice, and he was saying, that's a very good conversation. And I said, yeah, I thought so too. That's why I thought to call you, maybe even come in and share some of your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with us. And I mentioned that Suja's wife, Quran, had asked the question, what should we explain to our children about what they should be called? You know, because should it be, in other words, what should they be called other than Muslim? You know, quite naturally explains to them first that they are Muslim, was born Muslim, submitting their will to the will of Allah. So, and everybody's really born a Muslim, you know, but they have to get to the point where they can understand that too, according to their ages. Still teach them. But then, whether it's to be called Negro, African-American, Afro-American, or just what? So that's the question that's in the air now. Just exactly what should the children be called? What should we teach them they should be called? Because on applications, when you fill them out, it has Hispanic, or it has Native American, or it has Italian, or Negro. And we know there's no such thing as a Negro. Nobody, well, I won't say no such thing, but there's no race, creed, or color that we know of that's legitimately called a Negro. You know, and that's what we're trying to share and trying to gain knowledge on. What should we be called? So we can teach the children what they should be called. Application, they have all those, like I said, different things they can put them as or under. You know, like Caucasian, Negro, Native American, Italian, Hispanic, Mexican. You know, Puerto Ricans and Mexicans don't like to be called Hispanics. You know, Mexicans like to be called Mexicans. Puerto Ricans like to be called Puerto Ricans, and so forth and so on. Okay. And we got real deep last night on that, too. We expounded a little bit on everybody being Muslims, and the children should be taught that they could be called Muslim, or their origin is Muslim. And we said that we would try to explain to them that Muslim is that everybody's born a Muslim. It's the environment that changes them, and that they are called Muslim because they're born doing the will of God, doing the will of Allah, automatically doing the will and submitting to the will of Allah, and that's a Muslim. Okay. Then when they grow up and get into environments, you may hear them calling each other Negroes, niggers, or African-Americans, Afro-Americans, or black, or whatever. And the question was asked, well, what is a Negro? And what is the definition of a Negro? And an answer was given that it's color of, it's what the Hispanics call black, you know, that way. And then it was explained that black is not a color, you know, because it's like a base that you can mix anything with it and get different colors from, different shades, you know, or colors from. So that was, all of that was included. But tonight the main thing, we were supposed to come back with some idea of what we should teach our children about their race or origin or nationality. Just who are they? We know we have names of slave masters. We know that we seem to be the only people who don't have our own names or not recognized by our own names. So is anybody, can we name Joe or Mary or Susie or David, Anthony, Jean, J for the girl and G, Jean for the boys. Those were the things, there's some of the things that were mentioned, you know, the differences. So if anybody else would have wanted to say something about that or contribute to that, you know, it would be good. If tonight, I would like to ask Brother Suja a question that I was intending to ask at the when he finished, but I got on something else because I'm really eager and I'm really waiting for the email to come on because the conversation was so nice last night about how would you teach the children, what would you teach them about who they are, you know, and not Negroes. Some people don't want children called African Americans or Afro Americans or Black. You know, then what? You know, then what would you consider? Walaikum assalam, Brother Suja. Yeah, I wanted to ask.
Yeah, that question that you just asked me, what should we call the children, you know?
No, that wasn't what I was going to ask you. That's the conversation from the theory from last night, bringing over to last night that we were supposed to expound on a little bit. But I was going to ask you about something that you had brought up tonight in your talk not too long ago. And you were naming the different chapters in the Bible and verses.
Right.
And I wanted to know and you say you were using examples that a daughter was babysitting with one of the neighbor's children. And they had been brought as a, yeah. So I wanted to know what was the origin of that particular story that you would try to get over to us with the daughter the daughter babysitting with a neighbor's child. You say you would use them as an example.
My point was that I was my subject, and the point that I was making is that they ask questions about how we pray, and they was questioning us about putting our heads on the ground.
That's right. Yeah, that was
one of the things that was bothering them. You know, why do y'all put your head on the ground? So I recall some of the children that my daughter babysitted. You know, they used to come over the house, but my daughter used to babysit them, and one of them was telling her friend that they saw us praying when they was over to our house, and that we was praying with our head on the ground, and she was explaining why we had our head on the ground. She thought was that we was praying to the devil.
That's right. You know,
the devil. It's a red man on the ground with a pistol.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was explaining. You know, I was explaining my subject.
Right.
My subject.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you named a few of chapters and verses coming from
From the Bible. I was showing that's the way they pray in the Bible, the way we pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you use those different names of... Okay.
Yeah.
They use those different chapters and verses to explain. Okay, gotcha.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you see. So they got it throughout the Bible. You know, that's the way Christians prayed, the way Jesus prayed, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know.
Okay.
And so it ain't nothing so strange about the way we pray, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to write this complete sentence here. Like, all right, then. Yeah. Okay, would anybody else like to contribute anything? Want to come back with something? Brother Akbar, Sister Karan, Brother, my friends from New York.
Well, I want to ask you, Jah, as I'm making Brother Jah.
What is love?
Did anybody was able to reach that person to ask that question and gave them the clear understanding of what we were doing, and how did they accept it when they heard the truth?
These were children that used to come over and
pray
with my children.
Okay,
in Chicago. They used to come over a whole bunch of. And my daughter babysit some of them.
Yeah, I understand now. Okay.
Okay, you're just trying to connect back there, trying to connect because we missed, I guess I missed some of it. And I had to go back so I could be able to connect and write it down right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Explain to somebody else.
Yeah, I do that all the time. I just like to know what a person is saying and the point they're making, and then I can understand what they're saying.
If
I don't know the point they're making, sometimes I can't figure it out.
That's right. You're not able to connect because you can't even figure it out, right? I know what you mean. That's what I
understand.
That's what I just went through. That's why I had to regroup and go over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, okay. I hate to bother Sister Karan again. I don't know if she has anything else to say about this, but she started last night because she made a good point.
She's in the other room and she engaged. And she getting out some kind of filling out some kind of papers. In the other room. She off into that whatever she's doing.
Okay. No, these nights are getting shorter, or the days are getting shorter. Rather, it's getting dark quick, and it seems like you seem to get sleepy quicker.
It
gets dark. You make his bed start calling you, get dark. Go down. But, okay. I'm gonna anyway, get Brother Imam to come on. Maybe one day during the week when you're on, the brothers are on, and he can still carry that the message that he wanted to bring to us about what the children should call, Muslim children should call themselves.
Well, you know,
so we're not going to just drop that. We got to get the conclusion, come to a conclusion with that.
Yeah, brother, you know, under the army like Muhammad, they used to ask questions that had me. I was just trying to figure it out. And the question I'm Elijah Muhammad asked was, "Who is self? Who is self?" And it took me years to try to figure that out, because I didn't know who self was. You know.
Okay. What did you figure out then? Because I got an answer for that too.
Yeah, when Imam came in, I got into the Quran a little bit more. And Imam answered the question where he said self is the righteous Muslim.
That's the same answer I had in mind.
Yeah.
Yes, the same one.
Yeah. I said, "Oh, that's who I am."
Right.
But I mean, up to about some years.
Yeah.
I was just looking, searching. trying to find out
like
who
in some stars. I might have phrased it a different way, but that was the origin of his the beginning of it, what he was trying to get. You know, who are we?
Yeah.
You know, who itself, you know, righteous Muslim. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I made that point for me to just to say that I would say that, you know, I would tell a child, You know that identity that you should seek is being a righteous Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Muslim, Muslim is a good identity.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim, you know, and now you got a Christian child, you know they're gonna be a Christian.
Right.
You know, now, and I was explaining to my wife, is the difference between identifying yourself in a race and a nationality. You know.
Oh, dude was telling another difference between the race and nationality, you say?
No, the color. She was talking about.
Color.
Okay. I would say the nationality is different, and trying to just name what color you are, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to deal with what she was talking about last night, you know. And because you were asking the question, if you write down on an application sheet, identity, you know, so a lot of people down Negro, African Americans, some of them write down Black, and then they have others. We have others.
Other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and then some of them write down Belatin. They write down Belatin.
Right, they still say that. Yeah, they still say that. Yeah, sure do.
Yeah.
Still say that.
So if you still want to search for your identity, you know, the imam offered that to us. You know, call yourself Belatin.
Yeah, you're right. But they should take that Black off there, period.
Yeah, don't circle that. Cross it out. Don't cross it out because maybe they'll think that's what you're saying that you are. But put down and then you got African American. If you don't want to name that other name, Belalian, well, put down African American, because you are. Our origin is from Africa, and we are an American.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to put the children.
Right.
So they won't be getting confused.
Well, you have to admit some adults are confused, too. They don't know what to put down. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's right, because they got so many identities. We got so many identities. Mm. ID. Our ID is broad.
Yeah, true that.
And you have some people that is mixed, and they prefer to put down Caucasian rather than African-American. Because maybe their mother or their dad is Caucasian and their mama is African American. I mean, you actually have people do that. Their parents, one of their parents was white and one Caucasian, the other was African American. So they picked one.
Yep, they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are Joseph of many colors.
Yes.
We mixed up with all the nationalities.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we alone are melting pot. That's right. All of ourselves.
Yeah. And that's when the Imam said, Imam Wahidi Muhammad said, the real you is not your color.
Uh-huh.
No, the
makes
real
sense,
you is a man. You know, if I'm talking to you on the telephone, I'm not talking to your color.
Right.
I'm not talking to your flesh. You know, I'm talking to you that lives inside of your flesh, the one that controls
right.
your flesh. You know.
That's right.
That's the real you.
Because that
yeah,
mind on the matter.
Yeah, it's a man with mind. But amen. I imagine when they heard you, man, they said, man, what the, who is he? Yeah.
Oh, he makes you think. Oh, yeah. Have to.
Come to
you. Oh, yeah. Have to think. I wanted to, I wanted to get that information from Brother Imeen announced on the Blog Talk Radio show so people would know his website and about
STEM.
Doing with the STEM,
that's nice. That's real good. That's real faith. Alhamdulillah. I haven't talked to him yet. And you remember he was supposed to have been on the first Sunday.
Who was that?
Brother Imeen was supposed to have. Sister here in Louisiana had invited him on, you know, because, you know, he's an educator, and he got programs on.
Sister Rashida.
Yes, and uh-huh. she invited him on, but he wasn't able. He he be taking care. He be taking care of a whole lot of his family.
I know,
he wasn't able to come on. He wasn't able to come on, you know, but alhamdulillah, she said that he had called and said
uh-huh.
he had to tend to something.
Okay.
In the family. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, brother's busy. We did get a question from somebody who came on the other night and Sunday night, and he was from LA, but he wanted to know how the program went with the doctor and how the turnout was from people registering, you know, to get into that program.
Doctor Frank.
Okay, Frank. I never pay attention that I always will say the last name. I called Doctor Gupta something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came on wanted to know how did it go, how many people registered, was the registration turn out pretty good with his program that he's supposed to be starting, and the registration was, November was starting the first class, the first week in November was starting the first class.
Right. I got to call him and check with him also. And now, you know, he was on the Lifeline with me.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I listened to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he made He was talking so strong, Sister Halima had to call in.
Okay. Yes, she did. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, she mentioned about him when she was on the First Sunday program when she was talking.
Oh, you know that slipped past me the first Sunday.
You missed First Sunday?
Yeah, First Sunday was just this past Sunday, day before yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was what you call it?
First Sunday of November.
It wasn't a blog talk, but it was, what you call that other thing that you showed televised?
Zoom.
I didn't think of it.
Yeah, Zoom.
Yeah, she was on Zoom.
Wow. I didn't know that, and I missed it. I never missed First Sundays either.
Sister Rashida had the educational aspect of it, and she invited some young people on that was hosting.
Wow!
It was sharp. It was real sharp. It was one thing that everybody wanted to do. You know, put those mm-hmm. young folks up front. Yeah,
that's right.
The brother that was the chairman for the career committee, her husband, he passed. You remember that, sister?
Yeah, sister, I know you're talking about, she's in California too, little short sister.
She was a host, and then they had another young brother out of Philadelphia. Both of them was on at the same time.
Okay.
And they,
okay.
They,
you know, she came on the show. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, they did sort of a tag team thing, and it was together, Sister Rashida had invited some different peoples on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean was one of the person.
Okay. But he couldn't make it, huh?
Mm-hmm. But he couldn't make it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that is a good program that he's got, and I did want to advertise that and speak on that. You know, just like we speak on BUI too. You know, on announcements and things like that, to let people keep people up on what we're doing and some things that are taking place. These are the things that we mentioned on our blog talk radio show. You're missing businesses, you know, and education and youth and stuff like that. And so,
yeah. Wow. I'm going to check back with him and see what. How things going?
Okay, yeah. I wanted to. He was on not too long ago. He was on the board here, and I was trying to catch him, but I didn't want us to have to cut off what we were saying either, because I didn't know he was not going to stay on that long. You know, wasn't going to stay on that little length of time. But he got on off of there, and he didn't come back.
He was on the board.
He was on the board tonight. Yeah, when we were talking about the what to put on the names of the children, should call themselves. You know, yeah, he was on for a while.
And he was on the board.
Yeah, he was on.
I lied.
Could have, should have called him. I started to interrupt and ask him to give
I would I'm doing a lot. Well, we still get it.
Yeah, we can get him and call him back later, tomorrow sometime. Maybe he'll be back on tonight. Does anybody else have anything to say? It's 8:45, and any current events? Anything else we should know or we need to be caught up on about the COVID? Oh, Akbar spoke on it himself about the spider, right, that's headed this way, the 3-inch spider with yellow back blowing up this way from, I think he said it came from, not British Honduras, but from Brazil. Came from Brazil. Did you say Brazil, Akbar? Say it's not dangerous, that the spiders are not dangerous, and they're not worried about the adults, but they're thinking about the eggs that when the wind blows, is blowing them more this way. And all these yellowback spiders, 3 inches, huh?
He said that these spiders are safe. They come from Brazil. Somebody brought one over, and now they're everywhere. I mean, they're all over South Georgia. North Georgia. North. Yeah.
What do you bring them over here for?
Same way you brought the crocodiles.
Yeah, well, they did have a crocodile up in Chattahoochee River. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Bringing all these things over here. That's how we get them, to bring them and drop them off. Well, I pray for somebody, and then he's not dangerous. You say he's harmless, but you never know. Foreign to us. Yellowback 3-inch spider. I had to look that up. Yellowback 3-inch spider.
You know, well, Negro got spider webs on their door on Halloween, so they ain't scared of no spiders. So. That Negro got spider webs all over the house and coffins and all. So they
spider webs and coffins.
Yeah. So next year, they won't have to go by now. But those spiders get blown out here from the north, they have a clinic that they can use without spending any money.
Stop that. I hope they don't come this way. I definitely hope they come this way. Excuse me. Wow. Okay. You know, they got a thing in school now with the schools talking about the bullies with the children. Anybody hear about that? They're really on it, too. They're talking about bullying culture is now an epidemic. Bullying culture is now an epidemic. Young children are dying in record numbers. Let us care again. Children matter. Yeah. They're being bullied in the school system. And, well, I have to trace on an incident that took place with one of my little great-grands. My oldest granddaughter's son in Clarksville, Tennessee, lives in Clarksville, Tennessee. Last time I heard, which was about a month ago, that he was in the juvenile because he had gotten into a fight with one of the other students. And he put him in a chokehold. That's what you call it? Chokehold. And chokehold. And I don't know what happened to the young man, but it must have been, they make it seem as if it was serious. serious enough to take my great-grandson to juvenile, and he had to go back to court. And I was trying to contact my granddaughter to find out what happened. Just tonight I tried to call, but I couldn't get an answer. He's only 9 years old. Only 9 years old. But he was bullied. So he put the guy in a chokehold. And then they had to go to court. What would a nine-year-old child do in court? Because he was protecting himself. And the only protection that he knew by being thin, frail, kind of tall, like, was to put him in a chokehold. So now he didn't kill him. What did he do? What happened? I mean, why should he have to be put in juvenile? Why should he have to be even having a court, juvenile court date? I had to follow up through on that. And they talk about children being bullied. Clarksville is sort of kind of a prison place too, anyway. Always been up there near the Army base, Fort Campbell Army base, Clarksville, Tennessee. And if y'all don't mind, you only got about 5 more minutes. I want to just read this, see what we can make of this. It says, bullying culture is now an epidemic. Young children are dying in record numbers. Let us care again. Children matter. This is the Muslim Journal, the latest edition, November 5th, 2021. And it's page 8. It starts there. And it says, ever been bullied? Ever been a bully? Did you ever stop someone from bullying someone? Tell your stories. You can help save someone's life by telling your personal stories. Loretta and I will be interviewing those with the most interesting survival stories. We prefer the term truths versus stories in our upcoming movie titled Bullying, A Shameful Dilemma, Ray Visited, Part 2. Now, this is by Brother Imam Muhammad and Loretta Ali Abdullah. This is a couple. I'm sure you remember Brother Muhammad. He's well known. They do movies and plays, and the entertainers, like, used to be in the instrument music part for his arts, mostly, most of the movies. Okay. It says, Loretta and I will be interviewing those with the most interesting survival stories. We prefer to the term truth versus stories in our upcoming movie titled Bullying, A Shameful Dilemma, Ray-Visited-Part 2. Tell your truths today about bully culture and how it was affected your life. Okay, ODIS goals and objectives to combat bully culture as a social disease, a mental virus, or pathogen, take a pick. On the spot, Entertainment Corporation's OTSE goal is to educate and inform parents, teachers, administrators, public officials, and policy makers, legislators, and the public about the seriousness of bullying. But more importantly, helping bullies realize how hurtful it can be and to give renewed hope to those affected by bullying that help is here. Okay, we'll see. Their help is here. Let us reside in them hope. It is not hopeless. Oftentimes, many victims of bully culture never recover. We can reduce incidences of deadly bullying events by caring again and becoming more empathetic while supporting and working together to remove this dilemma. That's true, because a lot of children, when they see they're being bullied, they commit suicide. You know, there's been more of them being done, too, because they feel they can't protect themselves and all the other children or their peers or whatever are against them.
and trying to hurt them or harm them.
When the children hear and see on TV that the people that are supposed to be protecting them and serving them is killing them, that's a natural reaction of them for their own protection. Start thinking about defense, how to protect their own self. When those people that are supposed to be protecting them got guns and got a permit to shoot them, and they don't even have a gun, then there's a nature in the human being to rise up and say, I got to defend myself. When I was in school, there was some real bullies. It wasn't bullies, it was the people that would take your money, take your food, take your lunch money. So you had to fight or give it up. So you learn how to protect yourself. You learn some defensive acts. So bullying is seen every night on TV. When you look at the football games and the boxing, you see the bullying. So when they get these violent videos, kicking each other, knocking the blood out of each other, they get enjoyment out of it. And most of these parents who don't have time to talk to their children, they get their children these violent video games. And what you think they're going to do to their child, their little boy? All day long, he in the room playing video. What you think going to happen to that child? He gonna grow up trying to defend himself, even though it's nothing to defend. So people have to be aware of that. And people are not going to speak on these videos, against these videos, because it make a lot of money. It takes the parents out of being a parent and give that parenting to the video game. So there's a lot to be working on. And long as we're in the environment, then we're going to be affected by the environment unless mother and father is truly up on their religion and say, no, I'm not going to bring that garbage in my house. And we hope that, and they're going to be operating under the influence of everybody else got their child got that video or that game in their house. So when you want to stop bullying, get rid of the violent video game that they can, the children are getting, all their mothers are buying them to keep their busy, and they've been told that these games are good for their reflex, so they buy these games and give them to their children. So when they stop that, when you love is concerned, walking and talking to your child, putting your child in a karate class or something like that, that would help your child. But just like the Suja's son was bullying at his school, and what they wanted to do was for him to turn the other cheek and let those boys beat him up. And Suja told him, said, I don't know how you raise your children, but I raised my children to fight with those who fight with you. You know these guys that going around bullying these other people, and you don't do nothing to them. That's the problem. They are the problem. Once you deal with them, you won't have no. They don't want to deal. They want the boy that they were bullying. Let's take the bullying, and then once they get beat up, come to the principal and tell the principal, and the principal do nothing. So it's all a game. Set up by the public school. It's all something they set up, made like they're going to do something about, and their intention is never to do nothing, is to let that happen, let it run its course until the people themselves start complaining. After they run their course and people start complaining, then they act like they're going to do something about it. So this has been happening for years, ever since I was going to school. They ain't stop no bully. John Wayne was a bully. Then our children, we were encouraged to look at John Wayne and Rocky and all the rest of that mess. So that's where it lies at. it lies at the TV, the magazine, the music, the rough music that we listen to. Kill, die, hit somebody, you know. So that's what it lies at. It lies at the people that we don't want to mess with. We should be going on the air and talking about these people a lot. It's violent and it's filthy music to come across the air, to come to our church. And the only reason they're allowed to do that because these people time is up and they want to take as many of us they can. When they time one up, they didn't allow that filthy music to be played on the radio and on the air. So this is the problem right there. Nobody gonna love your child until you love it. And nobody gonna protect your child before you protect it. It is simple as that. Oh, thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow. Okay. Time is almost up again for us. And I've just been sitting here thinking about all this stuff that we have to really cover. We have to really get down to the real nitty-gritty of this, because I think about my little great-grandson and what's happening to him and what are they doing to him while he's there, if they locked him up or something like that, or what is his... He's living with his father, so what is his father and his wife doing about it? It's all right. I'll get to the bottom of it. Inshallah. Make do it for me. I'll get to the bottom of it. I'm staying to see him be run over and just in jail at an early age in the system. That's what they want to do to us anyway, our children. Okay, so Abba, could you close out for us, please? Abba?
Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, the Lord of the world, the Lord. Surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright. But those who, with you who have originated the heaven and the earth, though I'm not among the prophets, my life and my death is all for Allah, the Lord of all the world. Lord, so said he, and this is what I'm commanding.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. Thank you for coming out, and be safe and take care. As-salamu alaykum.